Welcome to Exploring the Wine Glass. Yep, you heard that right. I am in the process of rebranding both the podcast and the blog. You should start to see the new name soon. I have been informed by the powers that be that it should be seamless, and as a subscriber, there will be nothing you need to do. Please reach out to me at exploringthewineglass.com if you have any issues, and please follow me on all of the social media channels. If you haven't subscribed yet, now is the perfect time. I promise I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass. Sláinte! Welcome to Exploring the Wine Glass. And today I am talking to the owner founder of Paso Robles Wineries.net, which is Lauren Lakai. And I met her very interestingly at a winery. Imagine that. We were at Pay Dirt Winery in Paso, and Mike and I were tasting, and she was tasting, and our paths met. And then ever since then, we pretty much have been talking on social media. And if you are going to Paso, this is where your reference is. This is where you want to look into and find all of your information about where to go, what to do, the ins and outs of Paso. So I thought it was a great opportunity for the podcast, for anybody who was going to be heading to Paso, to meet Lauren and hear what she has to say about Paso and about her company. So welcome, Lauren.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I can see behind you, the sun is shining. It's another beautiful day in Paso.
It is, and it was kind of a fun experience that a horse trailer pulled up and we could hear a horse's neighing right outside the office, which is a very Paso thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. And it's not even Founders Day. It's like, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So let's first, why don't you give us a little brief history or, you know, a little short bio about yourself? Where did you grow up? What were your interests? All that good stuff.
Okay, sure. So I grew up in a little town outside of Los Angeles called La Cañada. It's next to Pasadena. Your listeners might recognize Pasadena a little bit better, as the Rose Parade is held there and the Rose Bowl football game on New Year's Day. And so I grew up in La Cañada, and my interests were sailing, skiing, horseback riding, anything that had to do with art, painting, decorating, sewing, etc. So I was very visual from the get-go, and that has to do a lot with what ended up bringing us to Paso, but I can tell you that story a little bit later on.
So, yeah, one of the wonderful things about California and many regions of California is you can ski and you can be at the beach, and, you know, just depending on a couple of hours what direction you want to go to, there's pretty much everything you ever want to do in life is right there.
Yeah.
So I went to college at Whittier, so I was right out of L.A., so I'm familiar
okay.
with
you were down the road.
Yes, just down the road. All right, so when did you become interested in wine?
I became interested in wine when I moved to Italy. So I lived in Italy for about 3.5 years. And it was a wonderful experience. A lot of the wine that I would drink was made by farmers that were friends of the family. And so we really had the real deal.
What brought you to Italy to live there?
I was living in Florence, in Tuscany.
Oh. Yeah. But
it was a fabulous experience.
Did you just one day decide to, you know, just one day wake up and say, oh, I think I'll go to Tuscany.
Well, what happened was after college, I went overseas for a year, backpacked by myself, and met who was became my husband and is my husband by way of Stanford University, as his mother was the vice director over there. And So I was staying with a friend who was studying at Stanford at that time. And so then I ended up moving to Italy to be close to him, and I'd always wanted to experience living overseas in Europe. And so I seized the moment, and it was just an amazing experience.
Wow. Were you already fluent in Italian, or did you get there and say, all right, I'm going to go, I'm going to learn as I go?
No, it was sink or swim. So I swam, and so I learned Italian, yeah.
That's wonderful. Mike and I went to Italy, not this summer, the summer before, and it was actually for our 21st wedding anniversary, and I adored it. We spent like 3 days in Rome, which I love architecture and history like that. Actually, it's funny. I don't like history, but I love looking at the buildings. I love looking at that type of thing. So Rome is like, ground zero there. Like, it's awesome, for that. And then we went to Florence, and I don't think my cheeks hurt from smiling so much. I don't think I stopped smiling from the instant we got off of the train to get to Florence to the time we left. It was so beautiful. Everything about Florence just was, I was like, I can live here. This is what I want. This is where I want to be. And then we went
exactly what I felt. And also I love the fact that it's a smaller town and walkable. You can go everywhere in the historic area.
Yeah, we did almost get run over a couple of times. They're not the best drivers on those narrow streets. But as we were walking.
There's a trick to it. Once you start walking, you have to keep walking at the same pace, and they will maneuver around you.
Oh, all right. That's for our next time. We were actually at a corner, and a car was coming to go around the corner. And he took that corner a little close, and we got pinned up against the wall. It was against the building.
Nice.
I was like, oh, okay. The Jersey in me might have come out a bit at that point. And then we went and spent 3 days in Venice. And I know people are enamored with Venice and everything, but it was not my cup of tea. I'm like, one day in Venice would have been enough for me. I was done with it after that. I wanted to go back to Florence. You were in the mother ship there for wine if you were in Tuscany. I mean,
yes.
I don't think there's a bad wine there, right?
Not really. No, only wine that maybe is corked or left in the heat. Yeah, that's the only time.
Right.
Wonderful, because the wines, most of the wines that I drank were young. They were meant to be drunk quickly, not to be...
The table wines, right?
Yeah, table wines, and they were fantastic. Maybe a farmer had a couple of hectares of vines, and he would make his own wine and, give some to this person, that person, or sell you some, or even... taking the large wine casks and bringing a bottle, and they would suck from a tube and fill up your wine bottle for you.
Wow. Well, that would be awesome. I would love to see that. I would love to see that. So then you, after 3 years, you came back to America. Is that when you settled into Paso?
No, we actually lived in Santa Monica and then Brentwood. And I loved looking at the LA Business Journal to my subscription in the real estate section. And I came upon a 100-acre working cattle ranch in Paso Robles. And it was a beautiful photo. And the cost of the property was the same as the values of our home in LA. And I thought, wow, it really hit me. I was like, that is a beautiful place. And so for fun, one weekend we jumped in the car, put our two boys in, and drove up to Paso and fell in love with it. And finally, after a couple of years, made the move. Paso was nothing like what it is now, 25 years ago. And so it was a pretty big move to move our businesses and our children and make certain that the schools were good, et cetera. And actually one of the wife of Justin from Justin Winery was the one that set me up with schools and other things. It was because of her and the friendship with her that we felt comfortable that it was a good move for us.
Well, you know, that
Debbie is still a good friend.
Oh, that's wonderful. That that is something that I find most impressive, and what Mike and I loved about Paso. When we decided to, well, actually, we really didn't decide on Paso. We knew we wanted to retire to California, but Mike wanted Northern California. I wanted Southern California. So one year on our vacation, we were like, well, you know, let's take a look at this Central Coast place, you know. And so that was our vacation, was to the Central Coast. And when we first came out, or when we first decided to come to the Central Coast for vacation, we didn't realize there was wine there. Like, we didn't know it was a wine region, you know. So we're like, all right, we're going to come here. Then we started planning the trip and we're like, oh, wow, there's some wineries, you know. And because this was probably about 12 years ago. And we're like, oh, there's some wineries. So we went there for the first time and we started tasting. And it was, for us, it was love at first sight. It was, we came in and just the people were so pleasant. Everybody was so nice. Everybody was so, like, just there to help you, like, without even blinking an eye, you know. And then when we decided, you know, yeah, this is where we're going to be and this is what we're going to do with the winery, that was in 2013. And we were talking to, and I'm going to blank, Norm at Dark Star? Was it? Yeah, Norm at yes. Dark Star. And we were talking to him and we, at that point, we were getting fruit right in the block next to him. And he came out and he just started telling us how we have to handle the fruit because how the sun, you know, comes into that block and what the soil is like in that block and how you can deal with this and what you can do for that. And Mike and I stood there and were like, oh my God, like this would never happen in Jersey. You know, like this person is telling us exactly how he makes his wine, how he does all that. And we fell in love. That was it, you know. It's a magical place. I think it's a magical place.
It is, and the community is wonderful and supportive of one another, and you see that winemakers are very enthusiastic about helping people that are assisting them become winemakers on their own and open up their own labels, and it's quite extraordinary.
Yeah. It really is. I keep saying it's a, you know, I don't know what other word to say. It's a magical place there. When you go there, you have to fall in love with it. There's no, it just wraps its arms around you, I guess, you know. So with that being said, what is the number one thing about Paso that you love? Although I know that's a tough question because I don't think there's one thing I can say I love about Paso, and you actually live there. So,
yes, that's easy to identify. I think that this town is very authentic, and the people from being authentic, it rolls into being kind and generous, and also very interesting. People have chosen to come here because you actually were kind of a little island up here in Central Coast, you actually make a choice to come here and be here. And so people have that commonality of having landed here by choice and by delight. And so we all share that in common and embrace one another.
Yeah.
Of course, the wine is fabulous. Scenery is unparalleled. Something that struck me was, being a visual person, was that it looks so much like either Provence or Tuscany, and it's unspoiled, beautiful countryside with lots of wild animals. This morning I was driving from our ranch that's out near Halter Ranch Winery. I was driving to town, and a bobcat ran in front of my car.
Oh, my gosh.
You can see mountain lions, bobcats, deer, all kinds of different animals, so as well as cattle. So it's just, it's such a tranquil place.
It's a painting. It's like a real-life painting, right? Mm-hmm. So back on March 11th, Paso Robles celebrated its 130th birthday, and I know a lot has occurred since then. I know I'm not saying you were there from 130 years, but you've been there 25 years. What are some changes that you've seen? Because, you know, there's the Paso Robles News puts out on this day back in history, and it's really cool to see what happened back then. But so what are some things you've seen change since you've been there?
Well, fortunately, when we moved here, we knew that there were going to be large changes in a good way, just because we're situated halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco. So when we moved here 25 years ago, there was not one restaurant that one would want to go out to, unless you're into really basic food, grub.
Right.
And so since then, slowly, fabulous restaurants have sprung up here. And because I think the beauty of the place and the potential for wineries going in, foodies have moved in, because you can't have just great wine and not great food, so they need to go hand in hand. The main square, thanks to Norma Moy, who's head of the Downtown Association, she has done an amazing job in restoring the city and advocating for different projects that have made the town, the downtown, just absolutely picture perfect, with a big park in the middle with very old trees, probably at least 100 years old, and a gazebo down there where we have concerts once a week during the warmer months. And it's just, it's been a renaissance, I think, in the past 25 years, and it just keeps speeding up. There's going to be a new market walk place that Debbie, one of the founders of Justin Winery, is building. And our son makes Leo Leo Gelato. It's an artisan gelato, and he's going into the Paso Market Walk. And it's just been fabulous. It hasn't grown in a negative way. It's all been very, very positive.
Where is that market walk going? Where is it going to be?
It is going on Spring and about 17th Street.
Oh, okay. And do you know when that's planning on starting up?
Yes, it's going to hopefully be completed by October.
Oh.
And we also have luxury hotels going in. Mm-hmm. The Paso Robles Inn has, I think it's called Piccolo, is opening, and that's on 12th Street and Spring. Then Hotel Cheval, which was named the number one, I believe, boutique hotel in the United States, they're opening up another wing of their hotel. And then Allegretto just opened up a couple of years ago. That's on the east side on Highway 46 East, and that's a beautiful Tuscan-inspired larger hotel. There's just so much going on here.
Right. And that, I think, is a really good thing also. So for the people who are coming to Paso, they have options open to them in terms of, well, if they just want to be casual if they want to go, you know, not low budget, but save their money. There's hotels for that, you know. But now these luxury ones are coming in so that the people can come in and splurge on themselves and make it a wonderful, luxurious trip for themselves.
Right. There's something for everybody now. And the hoteliers on opening up the higher end luxury hotels are locals, which is interesting.
Right. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And, you know, I think there's more and more people coming in, but it still doesn't, to me, doesn't seem crowded. You know, it's not, you know, it's not like the Napa and Sonoma where you walk in, you're not seeing these bus loads of people coming in and like just taking over everything. And when you go to wine taste, you're still talking to the owner or the winemaker or somebody in the family, or, you know, it's a very close relationship from the person who's tasting the wine to who's pouring the wine. It's not, you know, I don't want to put the Napa Sonoma down per se, but when you go there, it seems to be scripted. The conversation is scripted. When you come to Paso, it's a conversation. It's a two way. They listen. You talk, and you know, they want to get to know you a little bit, and they want you to know their winery. They don't want you just to drink the wine, and you know, yeah, we all want you to buy our wine, but we want you to be comfortable and enjoy yourself more than anything else.
Exactly. Yes. And you even meet people in the tasting rooms because the vibe in most, well, boutique wineries is so laid back and relaxed. And so it's fun to strike up a conversation with others in the tasting room.
Right. And even our, what we as Paso deems as the larger wineries still are not large in the big scheme of the wine world.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, all right. So, doing my research for, several articles I've written for about Paso, the original inhabitants were the native Salinan Indians, who they actually called the region the Springs because of the hot springs that, have played a major role in the development of the city. I have actually never been to the springs or seen the springs, but my understanding is they're still there, right?
Yes. So there's a natural spring that is just out in the open on the east side. And I believe you can still go swimming there. And then if you want a less rustic experience, you have the springs at the Paso Robles Inn, as well as on the east side, there's a spring, a place that you can go to soak in the springs, but you are in tubs, you're not in the soil. And when we had the big earthquake, actually some of the springs that had been tapped off, that had been capped, they blew up, and in the parking lot of the library and city hall, there was a mountain of water coming out, and it took about a year, I think, for them to cap it and then repave the parking lot. So they're very active springs in Paso Robles.
Wow. And I knew that the Paso Robles Inn still had them. And we've only stayed at the Paso Robles Inn once, which I loved it. I thought it was so cute and like old fashioned, but in the, you know, modernized, whatever. But we were kind of in and out, so we didn't get to see the springs. But so they are still the ones that are on the east side. Where about are they?
One is off of, I believe it's Creston Road.
Oh, okay.
And That one is just privately owned by an individual. It is very, very rustic. I'm not sure that I'd recommend that to people, but
okay.
Anyway, so that would be the only open spring that you can actually wade into.
Okay. And is there a fee to do that?
I'm sure there is. I've never gone in myself.
Okay.
You can drive by and you can see it.
Okay.
It looks like a big pond, but I'm sure there is.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I don't have more information about
that. Oh, that's okay. You know, it's just interesting that they're still there, and, you know, they played a major role in why people came to the area and the health benefits and all of that. So it's just interesting to me. I'm more interested in the history of Paso than I'm in the history of pretty much anything else. I couldn't tell you anything about the history of New Jersey, whatever, you know, or my town that I live in, that I grew up in. I don't know. But I don't know. To me, Paso is a lot more interesting of a historical background.
Certainly was part of the Wild West.
It definitely was. It definitely was. Which is going to lead me right into my next question. So the founders of Paso Robles is really given credit to three gentlemen. Three Westerners. I don't know if you can call them gentlemen back then. Daniel Blackburn, James Blackburn, and Drury James. And when I talk to people and I tell them this, first, they're impressed that I know that. Secondly, they're like, oh, James. And I'm like, yes, relative of Jesse James. And he was there and he played a role in Paso Robles history. Is there anything around town that kind of correlates to those three men or to the real wild, wild west that Paso used to be?
Yes, probably the funnest little tidbit of information is that Jesse James did come and hide out here in Paso Robles. I believe a cousin of Drury James, and word has it that his horse was stabled in one of the rooms that is now a restaurant that's called Thomas Hill Organics, and I believe the name of the room is Jesse, and so you can actually go to Thomas Hill Organics, which is in a very old building, and you can see the room where his horse was stabled. There's also a winery, Oso Libre, on Vineyard Drive, where there is a foundation of a stone house that once stood where supposedly he had been hiding out as well.
Oh.
Then we also have a mural in downtown on the backside of the Paso Robles Inn that faces a gas station on Spring and 12th Street. And the mural depicts the three founders of Paso Robles. We also have something that's very fun. We have in October a Paso Robles Day that celebrates kind of the history of Paso Robles. And there are many old tractors, carriages, lots of horseback riders, etc., that go down the main street, which is Spring Street, in Paso Robles, that is just, it's pretty fun. It's very authentic, and all the locals come out for that and celebrate. And there's a big bean luncheon afterwards in the park that's free to everybody, and it's just, it's a great celebration.
So is there also somewhere in the back of my brain, I'm remembering, or I dreamt at some point, that the bar that's behind when you walk into Tobin James,
yes,
that first bar, that there's gunshot holes in there that are supposedly from there. Am I hallucinating that?
I do not know that fact firsthand, but I can get back to you and let you know. It sounds right, though.
I have this whole story in my head that this was the bar somewhere, and that Jesse James shot at the bar, or there was a gunfire thing at the bar, and then Tobin James went through a lot of trouble to make sure that that bar got brought to what became the winery and put in thing.
I will get back to you. It sounds like it could easily be accurate.
But then again, sometimes my dreams are very vivid to me, so maybe.
But dream big.
Yes, yes. But I'm pretty sure I heard that story at some point or another. And now a word from our sponsor. Exploring the Wine Glass is brought to you by Dracena Wines. Dracena Wines is an artisan winery located in Paso Robles, California. They have been producing wine since 2013. Their first vintage began with one wine, their classic Cabernet Franc, which received a 91 in Wine Enthusiast. Since then, they have increased production, received several accolades, including double gold medals in the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition, and consistent 90-plus ratings. In addition to their classic Cabernet Franc, they now produce a single vineyard, single clone reserve Cabernet Franc and a rosé of Syrah. Although they've increased production every year, they continue to sell out each vintage. Find out more about Dracena Wines and their award-winning wines at dracenawines.com and let them help turn your moments into great memories. All right, so way, way, way back in the 1880s, the very first winery opened up, and that was the Ascension Winery, which is now Epic York Wineries, which I always tell people who are coming to Paso to go out there and to go taste their wines. Not only is it great wines, but it's a beautiful winery, and the historical aspect of York Winery. So there's just a bit more wineries now. Do you know what our numbers are approximately at now?
I was just counting them yesterday. Let me look at my notes here. Then you ask. There are 237 wineries.
237.
And lots of breweries and distilleries as well.
Added to that number, right?
Right.
Okay. So, and how are you counting those wineries? Are those wineries with licenses within, or those are tasting room wineries?
Those are wineries that offer tastings, yes.
Oh, okay. Exactly. So then there's at least 238 because we don't have a tasting room.
Yes.
Okay.
Soon to be, right?
Soon to be. Soon
we
to
hope
be.
So. And I've got my wine that you so kindly brought by to me right here in my office. And it's a fun reminder of meeting you so many years ago in the tasting room.
Yeah. And thank you very much for supporting us. And I look forward to hearing what your thoughts of our wine is. We actually just released our rosé mid-April, April 15th, and we only have like 6 cases left. It was like,
ooh.
Yeah, it was like, woo, rosé season, rosé all day.
Yeah.
We were in Cancun and the orders were coming in and I was like, wow. So it was very nice. Very nice. So we've gone from one winery and then we have the Ducey's were very much in the Ducey family was very much in the beginning. Do you know of any?
Rota was very much in the beginning too.
Oh, okay. And they're all, the Ducey's are all over Paso, you know, people are taking their fruit, yes. They do all that. Rota, we've been to Rota a few times and the building is very, beautiful in the old way, right? They have the old crusher, right? They have like the big.
Yes, they've got one of the old little crushers at the original building. Just the walls are standing.
Right.
And it still has the original cistern there as well.
Right. And then at York Cellars or Epic now, I know they had they have the partial, what was left over of the partial building, but they were building a whole new facility behind that. Do you know if they kept the historical aspect of it, right?
They've got the original ranch house. I don't know how old that ranch house is, but they did a beautiful job restoring that. Then when we arrived here, the old winery brick building was still standing, and then the earthquake hit.
Right.
And so it was condemned, and so that's when they moved into a trailer, and then they did work on building the tasting room as well as the winery.
Okay, and is the ranch house what's kind of up the little mountain? Can people visit that?
The really cute one with a front porch.
Yeah. Can people visit that?
I don't believe so. I think that is their home that they use.
Oh, okay. Okay. It is very adorable. I would love to, like, just go knock on the door and see what it looks like inside.
Me too.
All right. So getting more down into what you do, PasoRobles Winery.net gives people the opportunity to see pretty much everything there is. I know you produced a map that's got all of these wineries on it. So what else? Let's leave wine. I can't believe I just said that, but let's leave wine for like 1 minute. And just what else do you have on the map? What else do you have, that people who are coming to Paso, cause I don't know how it's true, but not everybody likes wine. So what else can people do in Paso?
Well, just to start off, just to give a very brief, introduction to the map. So we produce the map. PasoRobles Wineries.net produces the only map that has every single winery, brewery, distillery on it, and it's the only map that is kept updated throughout the year. We have really cool things such as virtual tours that you can bring up on your cell phone or on your desktop, and there are links to that on our website. So there are hotels and wineries that have those virtual tours. Oh, and restaurants as well, such as Fish Gaucho and Gregor's. Yeah. And so that's really cool to be able to see these different places virtually. We also have online coupons. You can just go to our website using your cell phone or whatever computer, whatever device you have, and you can show them the coupons, the digital coupons on your phone when you go wine tasting. We recommend that when you have the coupons live on your phone, that you take a photograph of it. So in case you lose cell phone service, you have the coupon in your photos.
Yes, because that is something about Paso.
Yes.
There are lots of areas where you are not going to have cell coverage. So
yeah, exactly. So you need to be mindful of that. And then other things that people can do when they're in Paso, there's wonderful olive oil tasting. There are also farm tours that are fabulous. You can go to Farmstead Ed or do a Google search, Farmstead Ed. So Ed stands for education. And so you can go out to the different farms where they have different activities that are really interesting and wonderful. There's horseback riding. We have a company that came in that is now offering hot balloon rides.
Oh.
Bicycling is a big sport here. You see people bicycling on the back roads. There is a children's museum that's wonderful. There is the downtown, the Paso Robles Historical Society, and they have a little museum in the old Carnegie Library that's in the main downtown park there, which is very interesting. And right now they have an exhibit of antique wine bottles, which is very fun to see. And they have other things there as well. What else is there to do? Well, of course, eat. eat fabulous food. And then something that really drew us to the area is that you can just jump over to the coast in half an hour with no traffic. Imagine that, no traffic and extraordinary scenery along the way.
Yep.
And so you can pop into Cambria, which has an English feel to it, and also Cayucas, which is an old surf town that's fabulous. And then the smallest town in California, population 18, which is Harmony. There are wonderful walks you can take on the beach just down from Harmony, which also there's a winery called Harmony Cellars, and the land's been in the wife's family. The current wife co-owner with her husband has been in their family since the 1800s, the Bargellos.
Oh, wow.
Who started off with a dairy. There were a lot of people that, Italians, northern Italians that moved here and that opened up dairies. There's an abalone farm that you can make reservations to go and see. And then, of course, in San Simeon, there's Hearst Castle. And across the road from Hearst Castle is a fabulous little pier and beach that you can take a lovely walk on. And oftentimes there are elephant seals on the beach.
One of my favorite places to go.
Yeah, it's spectacular. It's gorgeous. Yeah. And as you're driving up Highway 1, you can see some of the zebras that are left over from the menagerie of animals that Randolph Hearst had on his property. And
you can't go too many places where you can see a zebra. that's not grazing
with the cattle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, there's Pismo Beach and Avila Beach, and you know, there's so many places to visit. And we actually like going to Pismo Beach because they allow the dogs on the beach.
Yes.
And so Vegas can run free and avoid the ocean, but he does like to chase the birds into the ocean. Until his paws get wet.
Little rascal.
Yeah. Then his paws get wet and he goes running away. And then he sees the next birds and forgets that his paws are going to get wet and does it all over again. All right. So you can be found mostly online at Paso Robles Wineries.net. But tell us, how did you start your business? What was your goal of your business, and where do you see Paso Robles Wineries.net leading in the future or heading in the future?
Sure. So my background is marketing for regional to Fortune 500 companies, and all of my clients have been outside of the area, continue to be outside of the area, and I always wanted to bring something back to the community and all the knowledge of all the tools that large companies use to market themselves so successfully. And I also saw that the only map out there was a members only map. And so it was missing a lot of the wineries, which kind of shortchanges people. They don't realize how many wineries there are out there. So I thought, you know, in the age of Google, it would be really fun to have a map that has everybody on there. And so started the business and included technology such as the virtual tours, the digital coupons. We have special microsites for every single restaurant and winery, et cetera, brewery, distillery, that will open up Google and Apple Maps.
So hotels use that as a concierge tool, and so it's a great way to get people from point A to B. So I get telephone calls from people, and they'll ask for suggestions where to go. And not only do I tell them or give them suggestions, recommendations based on what they're looking for and what will interest them, but I can also text the mapping and directions right to their cell phone.
Oh, wow.
Open up and have the location pinned. So just all this really fun technology, reputation management, you know, kind of back-end, business-to-business type of tools that are really fabulous. So brought that to the area, and it's been really fun. And my journey, as always, is to improve and do things better and better and better. And so I'm something in the future that we're, it's actually going to happen very soon, is that we have partnered with a company that works internationally in the hospitality business, and it part of the aggregation partners include TripAdvisor. So we're going to have events, being able to buy wine tasting tickets online, and wineries will be able to put up their different events on this platform that will also be able to sit on hotels' websites as well, and you know, all around the world, actually.
Wow.
So that's something new that's coming down the pipeline. And there's some other things, but they're more internal that wineries can use for themselves, tools to make them do things faster with less hassle, et cetera. So.
Oh, well, that sounds amazing to me. I would love to be able to do more things with less hassle, because being as small as we are, I do everything, and it's not easy. It's not easy,
well,
you know.
Well, you're doing it right. Love your social media. Oh, we have a lot of fun commenting on each other's posts.
Yes. Thank you very much. But it is very time consuming. It is really time consuming.
Yeah, it is.
But yes, I do love doing it. I got asked if I could go back in time and change what I did as a career, you know, so like I did microbiology, and I've already switched from microbiology to education. But they were like, well, if you could, you know, choose now, then what would you do? I was like, I would do social media. Like, that would be my job. I would be a social media person, because I would much prefer to be doing that all day long if I could.
Well, it would shows. Be. It's, you do such a fabulous job.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, I always look forward to seeing your photos, because it makes me feel like, you know, I'm there when I can't be there. The sun rises, the sun sets, all the different, you know, the different wineries that you're highlighting. It's always wonderful to see Paso. So,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so
it's really fun. It's so fun to be out taking pictures, and at all different times of the day, and even just when I'm driving home, there'll be a beautiful sky above the vineyard, and I'll just jump out and take some pictures.
Yep.
I'm the crazy person. This side of the road.
I think you're probably not alone on the side of the road taking the photos either, though. since we're talking social media, where can people find you? So we mentioned that your website is pasoroboswineries.net, but where on social media can people find you?
So on Instagram is my preferred social media, although we also have Facebook. And our handle, as they call it, or our name, is just Paso Robles Wineries. And so we post, and we also post on Twitter, but I'm not a big Twitter fan. So Instagram is my platform of choice.
Excellent.
Yeah, and it's fun to cover all the stories about winemakers and the wine, and people who have won high scores for their wines, and just all these wonderful stories. So I don't just post a picture. I
tell the story
as much of the text that's allowed on Instagram. And so there's it's almost like a mini blog.
Right.
And have so much fun doing that.
Yes. Yes, you definitely do. You tell the story of the winery that you're taking the picture of. Yes. All right. So with that being said, did I miss anything? Is there anything that you would like to cover that we did not cover thus far?
One thing I don't think I quite explained is that PestRebelsWineries.net is a tourism resource for people to go and find information about wineries that they would enjoy going to. So we have different categories. Dog friendly is a huge one. So dog friendly wineries that have beautiful views, that where you can picnic. And then we have all the varietals, wineries that make all the different varietals. So it's organized that way. And also by region, wineries out on Highway 46 East, West, etc. Vineyard Drive. So it's just a great tool to help people go to and find just the spot that will resonate with them. Places where you get food to eat, that's very important too. That's one category that people really enjoy going to. And then of course people can email me and or call, and I'm happy to provide them information. What's dear to my heart is to understand what individuals are looking for, because most visitor centers have their easy picks just to kind of throw out there to people when they come in, whereas I really want to understand what is it that's going to resonate with you. And then I throw in a couple of suggestions that can be really fun, such as a little tiny winery that's in an outbuilding, a rock outbuilding, on a historic ranch that was homesteaded in the 1800s and still owned by the same family. And there are just two guys from New York that love wine, and one of them is always there pouring, and they make fabulous wine. And it's just this little rustic place. They've got this old wood-burning stove in the corner, and they have their dogs roaming in and out, and it's just a lovely place to go. And it's a great juxtaposition from a very elegant place such as Justin Winery or Robert Hall Winery. So it's a lot of fun, and people usually enjoy those places.
All right, so now I'm curious, which is the rustic, who's the two guys from New York?
That's Kiami.
Oh, yay! Yes. We do love them. Yes. Yeah. And I concur.
DeBost is another one. Yes. DUBOST.
Mm-hmm. And they do olive oil also, right? DeBost does olive oil also, correct?
Yes. And also wine jelly. Kate DeBost makes wine jelly.
Yes. Oh, we do like Kiami. Okay. All right. I thought I was missing out on something, but nope.
You're in the know.
I'm in the know. All right. So you ready to play my little game of opposites?
Sure.
All right. So basically, I'm just going to give you two terms. There is no right answer. It is just whichever one resonates with you first. So it's really not, you know, I just say two words, whichever pops in your head first, that's the answer. All right. Ready?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to start off with non-wine terms, and then I kind of go into wine stuff. So, night or day?
Day.
Sunset or sunrise?
Sunset.
Black or white?
Ooh, white.
Walk or run?
Walk, so I can take in everything.
See, I'm like, run, so I can do more stuff. Food or drink?
Food.
Old world, new world?
Old world.
Sweet or dry?
Dry.
Bubbles or still?
Still.
Oak or stainless?
thing.
Drink now, drink later.
Drink now?
Blend or varietal?
Ooh, both.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Vintage or non-vintage?
Probably vintage.
Cork or screw cap?
Cork.
Napa or Sonoma?
Sonoma.
Bordeaux or Rhone?
What was that?
Bordeaux or Rhone?
Oh, Rhone.
And warm climate or cool climate?
Warm.
Or in Paso. Warm. Warm. You can't be in Paso without saying warm. Although, for people who are listening, when you come to Paso, you do need to dress appropriately, because although it gets hot during the day, if you're still outside hanging out at night, we do have a huge diurnal shift, and it does get cool, and it does get windy at night. So, you know, don't only come in shorts and t-shirts, because you'll freeze it, your little rinas off at night.
Yes. Layers is the name of the game here.
Yes, yes. And a hat. Wear a hat for the daytime. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Lauren. It was a pleasure to talk to you again, and great to see you, even though it was only virtually. Thank you for sharing your expertise on Paso.
It was such a pleasure. Thank you so much for including me on your podcast.
Appreciate absolutely. It. Absolutely. You know, I am, I started that second Instagram because, like I said, I have, you know, so much free time. But I started the Exploring the Wine Glass, and, you know, I say Paso Robles proponent and, you know, and Cab Franc champion. Those are my two loves. So anything I can do to promote Paso, I am front in line to try to help out and do that.
Yes, and actually one other thing that I can mention that your listeners might enjoy is downloading the podcast called The Winemakers Series. And it has started with Paso Robles as an area. And it's a production company out of L.A., and it was launched from, I don't know if you've seen the book, The Winemakers of Paso Robles. It's a big coffee table book.
Yeah.
And so they turned it now into a podcast and soon to be shows as well. I believe it's going to be on Hulu. That's quite fun. So
oh,
wow.
The Winemakers series. So, yes, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I didn't know about that one. So I will download that and I will start listening to that. I would love to, anything I can listen to for Paso is in my book. And then a Hulu series, that might actually be something that makes me order Hulu. So
yeah, there you go. I'll let you know when it's up and going.
Wonderful. And I will look them up and I'll put links to them in the show notes also.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
All right. So thank you very much. And I hope you have a great, well, it's Thursday. So hope you have a great weekend and hope you go out wine tasting, and have some great wine.
Yes, always. Thank you. And I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Yeah. Thank you. Sláinte.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Exploring the Wine Glass. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast catcher to help others find me more easily. I'm on all the common aggregators. Sláinte.